When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot happens at the weekends.
And the world of Atlanta sports doesn't stop.
Neither do we.
We get together like this every weekend.
Now it's time to talk all things ATL sports.
With Chris Guilford.
Yeah!
Man!
Yeah!
Chris has the latest on what's happening with our Falcons, Hawks, United, Dogs, and everything in between.
Live Atlanta sports talk on the weekends. Here.
We're going to make it happen this weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, here's Chris Goforth.
Hey, and a good Sunday afternoon to you, wherever you may be joining us from. I hope your Sunday is, hope it's going well. Hope you've had a good weekend. We'll keep you company here for the next couple hours. Don behind the glass, as he is most every Sunday. So good, again, to spend a little time on a Sunday with Dom. I trust your Sunday is going well.
Yeah, man, I can't complain too much. Like I said, just Working the J-O-B, you know, went from one job to the other, but I can't complain.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes for most of us here, especially on the, especially those of us that slog away on the weekends. We just move from one job right into the other. So I get to do that later on this week. I'm going to work Friday night, so I'll be doing the same thing as you. I'll go from one job straight into the other and be able to hang out for a couple of hours on Sunday night, or Friday night, rather. So looking forward to it. Sunday, good day. I had breakfast this morning, Dom. It was Chips Ahoy cookies and a big glass of milk.
Breakfast of champions.
Probably not recommended by any nutritionist, especially for a guy that's closing in on 51 in less than 2 months. But it sounded good this morning, Dom, and I went with it. That is my kryptonite.
Sounds good right now. I want some.
Chips Ahoy, chocolate chip cookies. I don't want the soft cookies. I don't want no chewy stuff. I like the crunch. And if that's in the house, Dom, I'm eating it. I'm eating it every time. I don't care if it's here. I'm eating it. I can't stop. Have you got a food like that, like something you just can't say no to? I don't buy this stuff because I know if it's in the house, I'll eat it all.
Yeah, I've got a couple things like that. Like, I'm definitely one of those people that, like, if you have a certain candy or something, like up at the impulse rack, like they have the the caramel-filled Reese's peanut butter cups now. Like, if I see those, yeah. I'm going to get them.
I did not eat all of the Chips Ahoy this morning. I could have, but I didn't. I chose a little bit of restraint. My wife actually came in the kitchen. I was trying to hide, and I was trying to hang in that part of the kitchen where she couldn't see me, but we've got this open floor plan in our house, which I hate, by the way. Never buy another house with an open floor plan because you can't hide from anybody and eat your Chips Ahoy's in peace. But anyway, I've had to hear about that this morning, so... We got a lot to get to today, in addition to my overindulgence on Chips Ahoy cookies. We talked last Sunday that this week coming up was going to be a big week for the Atlanta Hawks, and it was. Now, it didn't happen as quickly as what I thought it might. I thought maybe we'd see the Hawks make a move early on in the week prior to the draft. That really didn't happen. They did draft Zachary Richichet, or as somebody on Hawks Twitter called it this week, Zachary Richichet, which I thought was, I found it humorous. I don't really think that came, though, as a shock to anyone. It seemed like he was one of the two or three guys that the Hawks were going to end up with, you know, regardless. He was in that discussion there with, you know, maybe Sarr and one or two other guys. Friday night, we find out that DeJounte Murray is being traded to the Pelicans. And we'll get more into this move coming up in a few minutes. Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks is going to join us to talk about this move, the drafting of Richichet, and what's next for the Hawks. We'll get to Brad. He'll join us here about 15 or so minutes from right now. But here's what we do know right now about the Hawks, and I think this is what we can take away from the moves they made this week. Number one, I think this team is they're clearly not blowing anything up, right? And I know, you know, there's been people that have said, ah, heck with it, just blow it up, let's tank, let's start over. I think the problem with that approach right now for the Hawks is the fact that they don't own any of their draft picks right now. So tanking really only helps the Spurs at this point. It doesn't help the Hawks. So that's not going to happen. And secondly, they're not going to move on from Trae Young. They had a decision they had to make. You were going to move on from one or both of those guys. It wasn't working. It wasn't working. So you had to make a decision. You had to move on. You were either going to move on from one of them. And I think if you truly wanted to blow the thing up and start over, you would move on from both of them. They decided to move on from DeJounte Murray. So Trae Young, not going anywhere. And I think Trae becomes much more important to this franchise than he's ever been before. And let me explain what I mean by that. You're going to ask Trae, now, not only to be your main scoring option, your creator on offense, if you will, I think now you've got to ask him to take a bigger role as a leader. He's got to be, you know, he's going to have to do more than just the on-court stuff. I think he's got to be that off-the-court guy, too. He's got to be that leader. Now, when it comes to drafting Richichet, you know, the hard part about your team taking a guy like this, and, we've touched on this here the last couple of weeks, you don't really know anything about these guys. You know, when the draft was made up of largely, you know, college kids, and, you know, college basketball was more relevant nationally than just 1 month out of the year, because let's face it, that's what, as much as I love the sport and I watch a ton of college basketball, I enjoy it, but college basketball nationwide to a mass appeal of sports fans is relevant in the month of March. It's kind of like the first week of March roll around and we go, wait a minute, hold on, the conference tournaments are this week? That's where it is right now, and that's what we don't – he's not a known guy like so many of the guys in the past when, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, well, I guess we go back further than that now, 30 years ago, when the majority of the guys that were being drafted were not coming from, you know, a foreign land somewhere. They weren't coming from France. We read all this stuff since the draft and before the draft, but honestly, we really don't know that much about Richichet unless you've spent time watching French basketball. But the people that do watch it and the people that are paid to know about guys like Richichet, and he's somebody that those folks have known about since he was 16 years old. And if you read what they say about him, he brings the ability to score. He's got length. He's got quickness. He's got athleticism. He's somebody that can create off the dribble. He's tall. He's a perimeter shooter. And he can defend multiple positions. And right now, I think when you talk about length, shooting from the perimeter, defend multiple positions, that's what you want in the NBA right now. That's what he is. That's the skill set that the NBA, the way the game is played today, that's what they're all about. That's why the Knicks wanted Mikal Bridges so bad. The Celtics have built their team around two guys like this. I think the Hawks have been trying to build around Trae Young, which is fine, but part of that piece that's missing has been a guy like Richichet. At least that's what we think Richichet is. Now, we're going to find out. You know, I think at one time the Hawks thought they had somebody that kind of fit that role, that description in a Cam Reddish. DeAndre Hunter is somebody that has gotten better defensively. And I think he's somebody that's going to play a lot, especially early in the season for the Hawks as Richichet kind of has to get himself ready in the NBA. But if Richichet can be that guy, someone with height, and I've seen him listed everywhere, depending on what you read. I have seen him as short as 6'8". I've seen him listed as big as 6'10". So, which means he's probably, you know, he's probably somewhere between 6'8", 6'9". But whatever he is, there's some length there. There's some shooting ability there. And there is the ability to disrupt on the defensive end. That's what makes a guy like Richichet such an intriguing prospect. And I say prospect because that's a word that we use for a guy that hasn't done anything yet. We don't know how he's going to turn out. There's no guarantees that the Hawks got this right. And I don't necessarily think that Richichet has to be any sort of superstar. Just be good. If he's good, he's somebody that gives you something, a skill set. If he can bring those attributes we just talked about, the length, the perimeter shooting, and the ability to defend multiple positions, that's not something you're going to get later on in the draft had you have traded down and traded out of that number one overall pick. He gives you something that you can't get in free agency because we know we're not going to spend that kind of money here with the Hawks. Richichet, to me, is a guy that I think the Hawks really need. And you don't have to ask him to come in and be the savior of the franchise. He doesn't have to come in and be the number one guy. Just be good. You know, they asked Richichet the other night who he would compare himself and his game to. He said Klay Thompson. I mean, if that's the case, this pick is going to work itself out okay for the Hawks if that's where we end up. So that's where I wanted to start today, a little bit about Richichet. We'll get more into that and the DeJounte Murray deal. We'll talk about it with Brad Rowland. We'll get to it here in just a few minutes. I'm all over the place today. I got a lot of stuff that I want to get to. Dom is going to have his work cut out for him trying to keep me on track today because there's so much that I want to get to. Next hour, 1 hour from now, we'll do our five Falcons questions. We'll also visit with our friend Scott Reynolds. He writes for PewterReport.com. We'll continue our look around the NFC South and previewing those teams in the South today. We'll talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll do that coming up. We will also get to our NFL notebook. All of that is next hour. We'll give you a full hour of the National Football League. We'll talk a little college football to kick off the final hour that I am with you today. During the 4 o'clock hour, our buddy Bill Bender from the Sporting News will be along. And also, by the way, before the end of this hour, we're going to hear from John Smoltz. who the former Braves pitcher was on a Bloomberg podcast this week, had some interesting things to say about injuries, in particular injuries to pitchers in baseball. So we'll get to that. I really like what Smoltz had to say. We'll bring that to you. Brad Rowland joins us when we come back. Chris Goforth on this Sunday, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekends with Chris Goforth.
This weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Zachary Risache. from Lyon, France, and France's JL Bourg-en-Bresse.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Sunday. And time to head out on the wait4.com hotline. We welcome in our friend Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks. He covers the Hawks each and every day. You can download the podcast. It's on all the platforms. You can check it out. Make sure you subscribe, Locked On Hawks. And Brad, always kind enough to spend some time with us. When I kidded with Brad last week about, hey, we'll have you back, you know, in a week to kind of talk about what happened in the draft. We've got a little more than just a draft to talk about, though, as the Hawks make the move to trade DeJounte Murray on Friday. So, Brad, let's start with this. What do you make out of the value that the Hawks got in return for DeJounte Murray?
I think it's certainly a trade that is nuanced. It's not a full-blown, you know, grand slam, you had to do it kind of thing, but I kind of like it personally. I think it's a pretty good value. I think there was kind of a misplaced thought that, you know, because of what Mikal Bridges went for a couple days prior, that Murray would suddenly get 5 first-round picks, something like that. It was never going to be that. I think this is kind of the deal that it was going to be if the Hawks chose to do it, and they didn't have to make this trade. I've argued in the past that they should try to break up Trae Young and DeJounte Murray on some level. The partnership there just didn't work. But, you know, I think they got an appropriate return. 2 real first-round picks, not incredible ones, but certainly valuable assets. And I personally am a big fan of Dyson Daniels as a really interesting sort of flyer-slash-upside piece for the future. And then Larry Nance is also a perfectly fine rotation player, too. So I think, broadly speaking, it was a pretty good return for the Hawks. Again, not an absolute grand slam, but one that I would have done personally.
Yeah, I think when you start comparing things to the Mikal Bridges deal, you have to come back to the fact that the Knicks just grossly overpaid, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was that's a good way to put it. It was also just a very different situation where, you know, all jokes aside, they're trying to put together this Villanova all-star team in New York and all these things. And I think that I tried to warn Hawks fans like to not make the comparison between Bridges and even like a Trae Young trade or a DeJounte Murray trade. It was never going to be that. And while you can warn all day long, you know how this works. People will say, you know, look, DeJounte Murray and Mikal Bridges are not that far apart. Why was the return that far apart? And I don't mind that point being made. I just think that it's important to realize it's a very, very different situation. And obviously the Hawks got what they possibly had gotten. I'm pretty sure they couldn't have gotten 5 first-round picks or they would have.
Brad Rowland, Locked On Hawks. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now that DeJounte Murray is gone, is it a given that Trae Young stays?
I think it is very probable. I wouldn't go to given yet with what we know right now. I do think that there is maybe a non-zero chance they could just move both of them and kind of not fully start over, but certainly look that way. But I do think that it certainly ups the chances of Trae Young staying. I always thought that it was likely that Trae Young would not be traded. The Hawks have taken calls on him. I think that basically, you know, while I think Trae Young is very good, I think his reputation around the league is not where it needs to be to get fair value for him in a trade, I would say, from what I've heard. So I think the combination of those things and the Hawks want to still win now, from what I understand, they're not trying to bottom out and do this full-on rebuild. So those factors kind of going in different directions. I would imagine that Trae is going to still be the guy this year, be their number one option. And honestly, a lot of their moves on the margins between Reese Hoshea and even in this trade make a lot more sense with Trae on the roster as that primary engine.
The Hawks also get Dyson Daniels, a guy that's more noted maybe for his defensive play than his offensive play. What does he give the Hawks?
Yeah, I think your point there is the right one. He is definitely a defense-first player right now and probably for his entire career, I had to say. But he is a former lottery pick. He was the 8th pick in the draft just 2 years ago. In fact, the Hawks were kind of tied to maybe trying to get him in that draft that he went before they were able to draft him. But a 6'7", really athletic wing player. And, you know, I've made this point many times, but I think the number one problem for this team the last 2 years has been perimeter defense at the point of attack. And Dyson Daniels is one of the best in the league at doing that. He may not be a famous player yet. He's not known on some levels like his former teammate Herb Jones, but I think Daniels is already one of the better perimeter defenders in the league, and just having that skill set on this Hawks roster is a massive upgrade, both in length and athleticism, being able to kind of be variable defensively. And look, it's not a secret, the Hawks have to get better defensively. There was no path forward for this team to win at a high level without improving defensively, and he's not going to do that by himself, But that is the primary. On offense, he's also a very, I would say, talented player. The big question is his shooting, and that is certainly not one that's going to go away until he actually proves otherwise. But I think the combination of a guy with real pedigree, a lottery pick who is already a very proven defender who is still 21 years old with some upside, it's pretty appealing.
Talking Hawks with Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Are the Hawks finished, or do you see another move for them?
I would tend to think they're not 100% done. Obviously, I would be surprised if there was another move that was the level of intrigue and broad appeal as this one, because DeJounte was their second-best player, and that's kind of a blockbuster trade. But I would guess they're not fully done. For one thing, they probably need another creator as far as offense is concerned. That's the one loss. It's major with DeJounte going out the door is, like, other than Trey, they don't really have another primary guy to create offense for himself and other people. You would imagine more of that goes to Jalen Johnson and Bogdanovich right now, but they still have some salary questions, guys like Clint Capella, guys like DeAndre Hunter. And really the main thing that I would say I'd be surprised if they don't do is move on from one of the centers. They bring in Larry Nance, who's this rotation level player already. You have him plus Okongwu plus Capella. I'd be a little surprised if they were to hold on to all three of those guys into the season. So even if it's kind of more of a secondary move, I would imagine there is more coming.
Brad, what happened with A.J. Griffin? His rookie year, I thought there was some promise for this guy. I had hopes for him, and then it's like he just sort of disappeared the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of a lot of factors. I would say, there was the off-court where he was away from the team for several weeks this year for a personal absence. The Hawks never really disclosed what that was about. There's all kinds of theories about it. But no matter what, you want to think about that. He was away from the team for a while and not playing basketball for several weeks, and he came back, and he was kind of, like you said, kind of off the radar, let's just say. And there's that part of it. There's also the fact that I don't think he was the best fit for what Quinn Snyder wants to do basketball-wise. We saw that last year, even in his rookie season, I could say. He was playing a lot more consistently when it was Dan McMillan. And when Quinn came in, granted, the team was healthier, and that was part of that too, but he kind of, fell off the radar more as far as rotation was concerned. AJ's a little bit more of a slow decision-maker, not the fastest guy, not the best athlete or processor. And I think Quinn wants to go quickly. On one hand, AJ is a really good shooter, which appeals to Quinn, but I think that whatever it was there, the skill set didn't really mesh with what Quinn wanted. And because this year was such a lost year, I was not surprised they went ahead and moved on from him. I do think that AJ actually has the potential to be a change of scenery guy who could actually still be pretty good in his career. He's still very young and does have talent, but I think for both sides, it's kind of time to move on.
Brad Rowland, Locked On Hawks podcast, hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk about the draft for a second now, and Zachary Risacher, we'll start there. How does Risacher fit into what Quinn Snyder wants to do?
I think he's a very Quinn Snyder player, to your point. I think he's my short pitch for him is this big wing who can shoot and defend. That is a broad statement, but it's also what he is right now. I don't think that he has huge – superstar upside, which you might associate with a number one overall pick. And I get that that's a little bit disappointing or frustrating from a Hawks perspective. This is kind of the wrong year to win the lottery. If there is a wrong year to do that, there was no star level guy in this class that I thought was going to be like this game changer. But once you get on that curve and realize that guy wasn't available in this class, Risacher checks a ton of boxes. He's a real shooter. At 6'9", he can move off the ball. Hopefully, he'll be able to play a little bit on the ball in the future, but certainly not someone that you have to worry about offensively. And then defensively, he's really long. He can already move fluidly around. He can defend at the point of attack. He's versatile. I think he's kind of the player that most NBA teams, at least the theory of him, is the player that most NBA teams are going to look for in recent days. We joked earlier about Mikal Bridges. I'm not saying he's going to be Bridges, but there is an obvious market for guys who can be a wing-sized player who can shoot and defend, and that's sort of what the pitch is. He also processes really well, really fast, like kind of thought guy. I think that he matches and kind of gives the vibe of what Quinn and this front office wants as a guy who kind of just does everything well.
Can Risacher improve the Hawks' defense?
I think so. As a rookie, I'd be skeptical just because most rookies, even guys that look, he did play at a high level in Europe at 18 years old, which is part of the appeal. He's actually pretty proven compared to a lot of guys on that end of the floor. But personally, I'm always in believe it when I see it when it comes to rookies anchoring or improving defense. There is a learning curve there for almost every rookie, unless you're Victor Wembanyama, basically. So I think long-term, yes. I think having a guy that's switchable, can defend multiple positions is going to help them. As a rookie, I think he'll be fine. I don't think he's going to be awful or anything, but I think that it might take a year or two for him to be like an actual plus defensively. That'd be the case for the vast majority of guys.
Talking Hawks with Brad Rowland here. You mentioned the fact that Reese Shea to you really fits what Quinn Snyder wants and what he wants to have. When you look at the other pieces that the Hawks have added this week, do they fit what Quinn Snyder wants?
I think so, yes. I mean, the only caveat would be with Dyson Daniels, the lack of shooting is probably not preferred, but I think that you can't just have everything or he'd be a superstar, you know what I mean? So I think defensively he fits perfectly. I think Larry Nance, as a guy who, like, you know, just is very rock solid as a role player, veteran, doesn't have to be someone that you worried about at all, that makes sense. Reese Shea definitely fits in. So all of these moves on the margins, or maybe not on the margins when it comes to Reese Shea, are certainly – fitting into an overall plan. And that's something I've been critical of the Hawks the last few years, not knowing what the actual plan was. Like, they kind of didn't have one. They were kind of in this decision fatigue mode where they weren't really doing anything the last year and a half or so after the Murray trade. But they're not only doing stuff, which is kind of overrated. You know, it's not just action for action's sake, but you kind of see the plan. It's, you know, Trey is the primary offensive engine and these supporting guys who can both shoot and defend and surround him with versatility. That all makes sense to me. And a bunch of guys who don't stop the ball, like Quinn likes to make quick decisions and attack the rim and also shoot threes. And I think all of these moves kind of fit on what they want.
Is this team better today?
It's the ultimate question, right? I think that it's hard to sell that them being better when they trade DeJounte for pieces. And while I like the deal, a lot of that trade is about the two first-round picks, and those don't help you right now, if that makes sense. They help you in the future. They help you restock the cupboard, which is a big part of that because of the way that the Hawks, I think, overpaid for DeJounte in the first place. So, you know, it's a hard sell to say they're better now because the guys that they brought in the door, Daniels is, you know, not a perfect player. Reese Shea, being a rookie, I'm always hesitant to anoint those guys as being good NBA players right now. But I think that the roster makes more sense at that. You know, I think they'll be better in 6 months. They'll be better in 10 months than they are right now, if that makes sense. So if you said just use this roster exactly and simulate the season, would they win more games? I think maybe because of the injuries last year, but they wouldn't necessarily be better. But this is sort of a bet on also growth internally, a bet on Reese Shea, and also those draft picks really help for the future.
Free agency's next. How active do you think the Hawks would be, and is there any reason to think they would be in the market for anything more than, you know, a mid-level free agent at best?
I think on actual free agents, it's probably going to be relatively minor because they don't have cap space. You know, without doing the whole financial picture, they're well over the cap, so they don't have, you know, that big salary cap space to go out and sign one of the top guys. They could get in the trade market again. If they were to move off of, let's say, Capella or DeAndre Hunter and create some room, maybe they can go out and be more active in free agency. But I think if they add another piece that is what I would describe as like a top level guy or even the second tier guy, it's more likely to be in trade just because of the logistics of the NBA salary cap and not really having a ton. But they do have some exceptions to use if they want to go out and find some supporting pieces in free agency. They won't be quiet, but again, I think it's probably more likely to be a trade if they add another kind of, you know, top three or four guy to roster.
Give me your best bet on what you think the starting five is for the Hawks.
I think if it was right now today, it would be Trae Young, probably Bogdan Bogdanović. The question is really at the three with Hunter versus Reese Shea, because I think Hunter is probably going to be a better player in October, but Reese Shea is the number one overall pick and obviously has much more upside long term. And then Jalen Johnson and probably Clint Capella, but I think either Capella or Okongwu would not be a surprise to me. And like I said earlier, I think they're going to end up moving one of the centers, whether it's Capella, Okongwu, or Nance at some point in the next few weeks. So that's my best guess, but obviously a lot can change, and I think that they do have at least one more move left in them at some point.
G League getting started here pretty quickly. You headed to Vegas soon?
Yes, I will be in Vegas for most of the Hawks' run, at least the first three or four games of their run. And by the way, they're going to be a lot of high-profile games. That's the thing about having the number one overall pick, is that the folks at ESPN put you in some primetime windows, including that first night is going to be Reese Shea versus Sarr. That'll be a lot of fun.
Brad Rowland, Locked On Hawks. Brad, great stuff, man, as always. Hopefully we can catch up while you're out in Vegas at some point. I look forward to it, and always appreciate your time and your insight. We'll talk soon.
Always happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Brad Rowland, Locked On Hawks. Check it out. You can download it on all of the podcast platforms. We've got more when we continue on here. Chris Goforth on this Sunday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Live Atlanta Sports Talk on the weekends.
That's right, for the whole weekend.
Back to more Chris Goforth
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in, hanging out. Appreciate our friend Brad Rowland giving us a little bit of time and hanging out with us, talking a little bit of Hawks basketball. We'll talk some more Hawks coming up later on. Rough day today for the Braves. Pittsburgh, a 4-2 win today. Pirates got four runs in the fifth, and it was 4-1 Pirates going into the bottom of the ninth. Braves were able to scratch out another run to make it 4-2. I think it was Arcia that had the sac fly that drove in Adam Duvall, and that made it 4-2. That ended up being the final today. Now, Braves are now 46-36 on the year, so they're 46-36. On the year, still behind the Phillies in the standings as it sits right now. Both the Phillies and the Braves are 500 in their last 10, and the lead right now is at 7.5. As Philly in a little bit of trouble today, the Marlins have the 3-2 lead. They're in the top of the fourth, so a lot of time there, but a 3-2 lead for Miami over Philadelphia today. We'll do our best to keep you updated on that one as we go along, but again, a little bit of a rough start to the week for the Braves. We talked about this last week or maybe the last 2 weeks about just kind of what this stretch meant for the Braves, and about how you don't have to go win every single game, but what you needed to do, on that road trip was to be able to win the series. And you know, look, the Braves were able to go to New York. They take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Some weather issues there in St. Louis. Braves did not win that series. The loss to the White Sox on Thursday, and that's a bad loss. I mean, that's just, you know, you got to go into Chicago and take care of business. But we talked about coming home and how important this stretch was for the Braves. Okay, so they lost today. They still won the series. They took 2 out of 3 from Pittsburgh. Now you've got 3 against San Francisco coming in, and then 3 starting on Friday, a big 3-game series starting Friday between the Braves and the Phillies. And so, there's an opportunity here for the Braves to be able to make up a little bit of ground on Philadelphia, certainly going into next weekend, because, you know, Braves get a chance. I mean, you get a chance to play 9 straight at home, and it feels like this team's been on the road for flipping forever in the month of June. So, again, opportunity for the Braves. Not going to sweat a loss today. They still took 2 out of 3. Just keep winning series. And if you can do that, if you're the Braves, you're going to be fine. This team is a playoff team. It all depends on just how far into the playoffs they can go without arguably their two best players in Ronald Acuna and Spencer Strider. John Smoltz, former Braves pitcher, he was on Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast this week. I did not know there was such a thing until John Smoltz went on it. But Smoltz, I think he's got some really good things to say here. I want to bring you some of this stuff if you haven't been able to hear it yet. Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast, you can find it wherever you download your podcast. But Smoltz was asked about the injuries in baseball, and in particular the injuries to pitchers. And I think Smoltz said something that we've all been thinking all along, and that is that pitch counts in baseball don't work. They never have. And we've been in this pitch count era of baseball for a while now. Injuries to pitchers haven't decreased. They've increased. And Smoltz went after all of the analytics in baseball, and in particular, the pitch count. And I want you to hear some of what John Smoltz had to say, because I think he made some great points. Again, this is not old guy yelling at clouds. This is a guy that played the game, obviously played it at a very high level in John Smoltz, and I think he brings up a lot of good points here and makes a very strong argument. 2 points in particular that I think are very valid. First point is, I think if you watch a lot of baseball or if you follow the sport at all, it's injuries. Injuries are the biggest problem in baseball right now. Let's hear from John Smoltz. I think he's spot on with what he's saying, but let's start with this. Dom, give me, this is cut one from John Smoltz today.
The biggest problem in the game is injuries, and no one seems to want to address it. They just kind of look the other way and say it's part of the game. And unfortunately for a lot of these pitchers, the ones you've mentioned are veterans. It gives them a better chance to come back. They know how to pitch. But young pitchers have no guarantee because they have not gotten their stripes and learned how to pitch with the kind of arsenal that they have. So it's a little more of a crapshoot with them. It's a little more of a given with a DeGrom and a Scherzer and a Cole. And a Kershaw is going to come back somehow in the second half for the Dodgers. So I think the biggest problem that a lot of these guys face is they're going back to really, really good teams. And they're going to want to contribute like they never left. It's going to take 3 to 5 starts for these guys to get well back into the groove. And then hopefully there's no hiccups the rest of the way in.
The biggest problem in baseball is injuries. That's what John Smoltz just said. You look at what happened with the Braves this year, losing Acuna, losing Strider. It's absolutely the two worst injuries that the Braves could have had this year. You lose Spencer Strider, your best pitcher, and one of the best, if not the best, in the National League. You lose Ronald Acuna, who's not only one of the top 2 to 3 players in baseball, heck, he's one of the faces of the game right now. Both of those guys done for the season. Smoltz, though, in this podcast, and again, it's the Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast, if you want to go find it and listen to it. Smoltz is talking about pitching. And I had some great stats on injuries to pitchers, and we talked about it here back in the spring. I think it was from USA Today. I tried to go back through my notes, and I didn't find it. I have not done as good a job this year as kind of hanging on to stuff. I've tried to do some purging of stuff instead of holding on with little pieces of paper with notes written on them that I have done in the past. But, you know, figures, the one thing, it would come up again that I would need it, and I don't have it. But The USA Today had some great numbers on injuries in baseball, but in particular, the injuries to pitchers. Smoltz, in this interview, points out what a farce this whole idea is that you don't need starting pitching. Now, remember, you know, we've kind of gone through this. I don't want to call it an era, but we went through this thing over the last couple of years about, well, you know, you have bullpen games, right? You know, the need to have that starting pitcher isn't there like it once was. John Smoltz basically says that's a load of malarkey. Here's Smoltz. Give me cut two now, Dom.
Yeah, it's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. This is the one area that won't change until there's a rule change, and it's coming. They just can't enforce it right away because they just made three great rule changes to do exactly what you just said. But the starting pitching has been trying to be eliminated by analytics for a long time. And then they realized about halfway through, oh, shoot, this can't happen. We need starting pitching. And there is none to be found. So that's what everybody's looking for. But that's what everything's breaking down. The reward system is why the players are chasing it. And I don't blame them. But the reward system is flawed. You're asking pitchers to throw as hard as they can, spin it as much as they can. And then, oh, by the way, limit what they do once they get near 100 pitches. It's a broke system. It's a broke philosophy. You won't hear anybody talk about it. I've been talking about it for 10 years, but until there's rule changes, nothing will change because philosophically they think this is the way to navigate a season. And at the end of the season, you'll have 30 to 40 pitchers go through your roster per team. Think about that. That's impossible to sustain. So I hope that we get to the next phase of what the game is moving in a great place with great talent. These are some of the best pitching prospects and arms we have ever seen. but we don't get to see him long enough because of the injuries. That's what I have been burdened by. That's why I have been kind of screaming at the mountaintop. This doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It never will work. And we're asking people to just get brainwashed to think that this is the new normal.
30 to 40 pitchers per team. That's crazy. It's an accurate number. I think if you go back and, you know, you start looking at, go look at the final stats for teams last year and count up the number of starters, you're probably looking on average at somewhere around 30 per team. And the problem with all this, and again, I think Smoltz is 100% right, is we've been brainwashed into thinking pitch count, pitch count, pitch count. It doesn't work. There's evidence that says that it doesn't work. Look at the number of pitchers who go down with injuries every year. Smoltz says you have to change the rules somehow. He thinks there's more changes in baseball that are coming. Let's go to cut three, Dom. This is John Smoltz again on the Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast.
Well, much like the rule changes that exist today, nobody was going to change the way they played baseball. Now they have to. You can't stay stuck in the last 7 years and play the analytic kind of stratomatic baseball because the rule changes have enhanced you to change your philosophy. So when a rule change similar to roster manipulation, you limit how many pitchers can be on a roster. You limit how many times they can come up and down. Those are ways to change philosophy of how you ask a starter to pitch more innings. I floated an idea a long time ago, and they thought I had fell off a tree and hit my head because they said that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But there are no such things as dumb things anymore when you want to change the course of action. So I said, why don't you tie your starting pitcher to the DH? And they're like, yeah, that's terrible. I said, no, it's a competitive advantage now. If you want your DH in the game longer, mm-hmm. then your starter will go longer. If you want to pitch a guy two innings, then you got to pinch hit the rest of the game. Those are the kind of ideas you've got to think innovatively if you want to change the philosophy of how pitching is being managed. Because right now, the same thing's going to happen in the rest of time because this is what they figured out. I have enough arms. They're not ready, but I have enough arms to fulfill a calendar year if some of my guys get hurt or I'm kind of managing the innings.
So I see where Smoltz is coming from here. Now, look, I'm not necessarily a big fan of the proposal of tying your starting pitcher to the designated hitter. The whole purpose behind going to the DH was to bring more offense into the game. And all of a sudden, if you get a young pitcher that gets shelled early and he lasts two innings and you got to take him out and you lose your DH, I don't know that I'm necessarily a big fan of that. But I will say this, baseball's been doing the same thing year after year after year in regards to how they handle pitching. And they're doing the same thing, and they're getting the same results, and it's not getting any better. They're not keeping pitchers healthy. And, you know, again, the idea of a pitch count, it doesn't work. Here's the last cut. This is...
Live Atlanta Sports Talk on the weekends.
That's right, for the whole weekend.
Back to more Chris Goforth
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in, hanging out. Appreciate our friend Brad Rowland giving us a little bit of time and hanging out with us, talking a little bit of Hawks basketball. We'll talk some more Hawks coming up later on. Rough day today for the Braves. Pittsburgh, a 4-2 win today. Pirates got four runs in the fifth, and it was 4-1 Pirates going into the bottom of the ninth. Braves were able to scratch out another run to make it 4-2. I think it was Arcia that had the sack fly that drove in Adam Duvall, and that made it 4-2. That ended up being the final today. Now, Braves are now 46-36 on the year, so they're 46-36. On the year, still behind the Phillies in the standings as it sits right now. Both the Phillies and the Braves are 500 in their last 10, and the lead right now is at 7.5. As Philly in a little bit of trouble today, the Marlins have the 3-2 lead. They're in the top of the fourth, so a lot of time there, but a 3-2 lead for Miami over Philadelphia today. We'll do our best to keep you updated on that one as we go along, but again, a little bit of a rough start to the week for the Braves. We talked about this last week or maybe the last 2 weeks about just kind of what this stretch meant for the Braves, and about how you don't have to go win every single game, but what you needed to do, on that road trip was to be able to win the series. And look, the Braves were able to go to New York. They take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Some weather issues there in St. Louis. Braves did not win that series. The loss to the White Sox on Thursday, I mean, that's a bad loss. I mean, that's just, you got to go into Chicago and take care of business. But we talked about coming home and how important this stretch was for the Braves. Okay, so they lost today. They still won the series. They took 2 out of 3 from Pittsburgh. Now you've got 3 against San Francisco coming in, and then 3 starting on Friday, a big 3-game series starting Friday between the Braves and the Phillies. And so, there's an opportunity here for the Braves to be able to make up a little bit of ground on Philadelphia, certainly going into next weekend, because, Braves get a chance. I mean, you get a chance to play 9 straight at home, and it feels like this team's been on the road for flipping forever in the month of June. So, again, opportunity for the Braves. Not going to sweat a loss today. They still took 2 out of 3. Just keep winning series. And if you can do that, if you're the Braves, you're going to be fine. This team is a playoff team. It all depends on just how far into the playoffs they can go without arguably their 2 best players in Ronald Acuna and Spencer Strider. John Smoltz, former Braves pitcher, he was on Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast this week. I did not know there was such a thing until John Smoltz went on it. But Smoltz, I think he's got some really good things to say here. I want to bring you some of this stuff. If you haven't been able to hear it yet, Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast, you can find it wherever you download your podcast. But Smoltz was asked about the injuries in baseball, and in particular, the injuries to pitchers. And I think Smoltz said something that we've all been thinking all along, and that is that pitch counts in baseball don't work. They never have. And we've been in this pitch count era of baseball for a while now. Injuries to pitchers haven't decreased. They've increased. And Smoltz went after all of the analytics in baseball, and in particular, the pitch count. And I want you to hear some of what John Smoltz had to say, because I think he made some great points. Again, this is not old guy yelling at clouds. This is a guy that played the game, obviously played it at a very high level in John Smoltz, and I think he brings up a lot of good points here and makes a very strong argument. 2 points in particular that I think are very valid. First point is, I think if you watch a lot of baseball or if you followed the sport at all, it's injuries. Injuries are the biggest problem in baseball right now. Let's hear from John Smoltz. I think he's spot on with what he's saying, but let's start with this. Dom, give me, this is cut one from John Smoltz today.
The biggest problem in the game is injuries, and no one seems to want to address it. They just kind of look the other way and say it's part of the game. And unfortunately for a lot of these pitchers, the ones you've mentioned are veterans. It gives them a better chance to come back. They know how to pitch. But young pitchers have no guarantee because they have not gotten their stripes and learned how to pitch with the kind of arsenal that they have. So it's a little more of a crapshoot with them. It's a little more of a given with a DeGrom and a Scherzer and a Cole. And a Kershaw is going to come back somehow in the second half for the Dodgers. So I think the biggest problem that a lot of these guys face is they're going back to really, really good teams. and they're going to want to contribute like they never left. It's going to take 3 to 5 starts for these guys to get well back into the groove, and then hopefully there's no hiccups the rest of the way in.
The biggest problem in baseball is injuries. That's what John Smoltz just said. You look at what happened with the Braves this year, losing Acuna, losing Strider. It's absolutely the two worst injuries that the Braves could have had this year. You lose Spencer Strider, your best pitcher, and one of the best, if not the best, in the National League. You lose Ronald Acuna, who's not only one of the top 2 to 3 players in baseball, heck, he's one of the faces of the game right now. Both of those guys done for the season. Smoltz, though, in this podcast, and again, it's the Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast, if you want to go find it and listen to it. Smoltz is talking about pitching, and I had some great stats on injuries to pitchers, and we talked about it here back in the spring. I think it was from USA Today. I tried to go back through my notes, and I didn't find it. I have not done as good a job this year as kind of hanging on to stuff. I've tried to do some purging of stuff instead of holding on with little pieces of paper with notes written on them that I have done in the past. But, you know, figures, the one thing, it would come up again that I would need it, and I don't have it. But The USA Today had some great numbers on injuries in baseball, but in particular, the injuries to pitchers. Smoltz, in this interview, points out what a farce this whole idea is that you don't need starting pitching. Now, remember, you know, we've kind of gone through this. I don't want to call it an era, but we went through this thing over the last couple of years about, well, you know, you have bullpen games, right? You know, the need to have that starting pitcher isn't there like it once was. John Smoltz basically says that's a load of malarkey. Here's Smoltz. Give me cut two now, Dom.
Yeah, it's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. This is the one area that won't change until there's a rule change, and it's coming. They just can't enforce it right away because they just made three great rule changes to do exactly what you just said. But the starting pitching has been trying to be eliminated by analytics for a long time. And then they realized about halfway through, oh, shoot, this can't happen. We need starting pitching. And there is none to be found. So that's what everybody's looking for. But that's what everything's breaking down. The reward system is why the players are chasing it. And I don't blame them. But the reward system is flawed. You're asking pitchers to throw as hard as they can, spin it as much as they can. And then, oh, by the way, limit what they do once they get near 100 pitches. It's a broke system. It's a broke philosophy. You won't hear anybody talk about it. I've been talking about it for 10 years, but until there's rule changes, nothing will change because philosophically they think this is the way to navigate a season. And at the end of the season, you'll have 30 to 40 pitchers go through your roster mm-hmm. per team. Think about that. That's impossible to sustain. So I hope that we get to the next phase of what the game is moving in a great place with great talent. These are some of the best pitching prospects and arms we have ever seen. But we don't get to see them long enough because of the injuries. That's what I have been burdened by. That's why I have been kind of screaming at the mountaintop. This doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It never will work. And we're asking people to just get brainwashed to think that this is the new normal.
30 to 40 pitchers per team. That's crazy. It's an accurate number. I think if you go back and, you know, you start looking at, go look at the final stats for teams last year and count up the number of starters, you're probably looking on average at somewhere around 30 per team. And the problem with all this, and again, I think Smoltz is 100% right, is we've been brainwashed into thinking pitch count, pitch count, pitch count. It doesn't work. There's evidence that says that it doesn't work. Look at the number of pitchers who go down with injuries every year. Smoltz says you have to change the rules somehow. He thinks there's more changes in baseball that are coming. Let's go to cut three, Dom. This is John Smoltz again on the Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast.
Well, much like the rule changes that exist today, nobody was going to change the way they played baseball. Now they have to. You can't stay stuck in the last 7 years and play the analytic kind of stratomatic baseball because the rule changes have enhanced you to change your philosophy. So when a rule change similar to roster manipulation, you limit how many pitchers can be on a roster. You limit how many times they can come up and down. Those are ways to change philosophy of how you ask a starter to pitch more innings. I floated an idea a long time ago, and they thought I had fell off a tree and hit my head because they said that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But there are no such things as dumb things anymore when you want to change the course of action. So I said, why don't you tie your starting pitcher to the DH? And they're like, yeah, that's terrible. I said, no, it's a competitive advantage now. If you want your DH in the game longer, then your starter will go longer. If you want to pitch a guy two innings, then you got to pinch hit the rest of the game. Those are the kind of ideas you've got to think innovatively if you want to change the philosophy of how pitching is being managed. Because right now, the same thing's going to happen in the rest of time. Because this is what they figured out. I have enough arms. They're not ready, but I have enough arms to fulfill a calendar year if some of my guys get hurt or I'm kind of managing the innings.
So I see where Smoltz is coming from here. Now, look, I'm not a big fan of the proposal of tying your starting pitcher to the designated hitter. The whole purpose behind going to the DH was to bring more offense into the game. And all of a sudden, if you get a young pitcher that gets shelled early and he lasts two innings and you got to take him out and you lose your DH, I don't know that I'm necessarily a big fan of that. But I will say this, baseball's been doing the same thing year after year after year in regards to how they handle pitching. And they're doing the same thing, and they're getting the same results, and it's not getting any better. They're not keeping pitchers healthy. And, you know, again, the idea of a pitch count, it doesn't work. Here's the last cut. This is from John Smoltz. Dom, go ahead.
There's no scientific evidence to pitch counts. None. But we think a guy's going to break once he gets to 100. I've watched games with people and they go, oh my gosh, he's got 98 pitches. I said, don't worry, he's not going to break. Like, we think that they have come up with a number that universally transforms a pitcher into an injury risk. Here's the problem with that. Not everybody's the same. You could have a clean game, clean mechanics, and not be in any stress. That number is not relevant to a guy who's getting out of a jam, pitching in a lot of trouble, and throwing, you know, with bad mechanics. I would argue that the pitch count single-handedly has hurt the game in the way that we manage it and the way that they have these golden rules. See, again, analytics came into the game almost guaranteeing that they would put players in the best place to be successful and keep them healthy. Well, only half of that's been true. And so you never talk about keeping them healthy because they know that doesn't work. So when they play it safe and they're rewarding a pitcher to not throw 100, or that is the most ridiculous line of thinking, because if it was working, I would never say a word. If all of a sudden the injuries got cut in half because we monitored the pitch count, then I'd say, wow, that's pretty cool. But it's not working, and it doesn't. So that's an artificial number that's been thrown out there that you can't get fired by and you can't get critiqued by if you adhere to it. So just watch the next pitcher that throws 115 or 120 pitches, if we get there,
yeah,
they're gonna push him back, save us. Like, they're going to do so many things because they feel like they have to based on, like I said, what everybody believes is 100 pitches. And if you go north of that, you're running the risk of trouble. Yet, come postseason, all rules are gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At the worst time, the most risk time of the year, all those rules go out the window. And I kind of somehow chuckle thinking, oh, really? That this time of the year now, we don't have any handcuffs put on anybody. So it's pretty interesting how it plays out.
Smoltz makes a great point. Not everybody is the same, and it should be more about having the proper mechanics or the proper form, technique, whatever word you want to use, than it is about pitch count. The numbers don't lie. The numbers say that going off a pitch count has not kept guys healthy. There's no scientific data to back up a pitch count, as you heard Smoltz say. As a matter of fact, I think it's the exact opposite, right? I think it's been more harmful and not helpful. And front office people in baseball want to use the pitch count as this shield from the criticism. A guy gets injured, well, we stuck with the pitch count. We had him on a strict pitch count. There's so much emphasis on analytics. There's so much about spin rate and emphasis on velocity And everybody wants to hide behind the pitch count with this. Teams are now, they're factoring Tommy John surgery into a player's career. It's time for baseball to change something. And, I don't know if I'm down with Smoltz's suggestion of trying to tie the starting pitcher with the starting DH. But I think you got to figure out some sort of rule change or something in baseball, at least a change of philosophy in terms of how you approach this. That's good stuff, though, from John Smoltz. Check that out. That was on the podcast, Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast. It's available wherever you download your podcast. Hey, we'll get into the National Football League next. We got our five Falcons questions coming up. We'll dive headfirst into it next. Chris Goforth with you on a Sunday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!